best beat guy in Boston. Joe Haggerty joins us. Joe, how you doing?
What's going on? How are you, Jason?
I'm good. Is indefinitely the rest of the season? What does it mean?
Indefinitely means it's looking not good, and they're going to hope they look at him in a couple days, maybe towards the end of the week, and that there's some kind of medical miracle where it's a lot better. But, I mean, I took that to mean it doesn't look good now. We're going to give it a few more days to calm down, and hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, he'll be better and he'll look better in an MRI or whatever it is. But, I mean, I heard the night he got hurt that it was a shoulder and that it was fairly significant, and I had reported that. So at this point, I don't see how it's going to get any better. I just think they're trying to, you know, keep a positive front and hope that, you know, something crazy happens. Maybe they hope he has 21-year-old healing powers where magically it can get better. But everything I've heard is not good, and that he's going to probably be out for the rest of the regular season at the very least.
Can the Bruins win without him on the back end the way Chara's playing?
I don't think so. Inside the way Seidenberg's playing, too. And, you know, just how valuable he was as far as the minutes that he played and moving the puck. And, you know, put it this way, I really don't think they could afford to have lost any of their defensemen, whether it was Dougie or somebody else. You know, maybe if it's a bottom pairing guy, you can sort of get by. But even those two, Adam McQuaid and Torrey Krug, are extremely, extremely valuable players. And I don't really think they could have survived losing them either. So, and this is part of the problem with not getting a veteran defenseman at the trade deadline. Peter Shirley didn't want to give up future assets for that kind of a player. And so he's relying on young rookies like Joe Morrow, like Zach Trotman, like David Warsawski, to come up and fill in when these, you know, frontline defensemen go down. And we all know that young defensemen like that at this time of year, the crunch time down the regular season stretch and then into the playoffs, is a recipe for disaster. And the Bruins are in a tough spot right now with Dougie down.
Well, very, very tough spot. With him down, though, I'm guessing the Bruins will get to see what life would be like without Dougie Hamilton. I don't see any way, Joe, that they can't sign this guy to an extension. What's Peter Chiarelli and his agent? Have you heard anything on the discussion front?
Yeah, I don't think they've had many discussions. You know, I think they're waiting until after the season's over. I think Peter Chiarelli's had enough fires to put out otherwise this year that they haven't really talked that much. And I'm sure Dougie Hamilton and his agent are looking at a pretty big number for that second contract, just given where he is, given where the state of the Bruins defenseman core is, given the season they put together. You know, he's part of the building blocks, though. I don't see him getting moved. I think he, David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron, Tuukka Rask, David Pastrnak, these kind of players, these are the players that they're going to build around as they, you know, sort of transition this year from the teams that had some great playoff runs to sort of the next generation of the Boston Bruins. You know, I think this is very clearly, when you look at it now, this is a transition year. They kind of made that statement when they traded Johnny Boychuk right before the season started, and I think it's been like that ever since. And, you know, I think they were probably still hoping to get into the playoffs even as they were transitioning to a different core. Now that looks like it may not happen. I think it was always the plan to get in the playoffs, but it looks like their sort of worst fears are coming to life now as they sort of falter down the stretch here.
Well, you know, it's funny because when Chiarelli came in, of course, the first signing unofficially of his, of course, was Sedano Chara, and that was the backbone for their team. And it took them a few years, of course, to be competitive, but when you have that legitimate number one pairing defenseman, it makes everybody else's job on the blue line up front a lot easier. And I'm not saying Dougie Hamilton's going to be Sedano Chara, but at 21 years of age, he definitely looks like a guy who can be a legitimate top pairing defenseman. Whether he becomes an elite number one remains to be seen, but I think he's proven already he can be a solid number two. Is $5.5, $6 million over 8 years, is that what the Hamilton camp is looking for, and do you think that's what the Boston camp would agree to?
I don't think so. No? I think that for a second contract, I don't think there's any way he's going to get that.
Okay.
I think he'll get something sort of that middle ground, or at least I think that's what the Bruins are looking at. You know, nobody in this league wants to give out in a second contract coming off an entry-level deal those gigantic super long-term, big-money deals. You know, I just think that's bad business in the NHL. And teams that have done that have sometimes come to regret it. Look, you could potentially, I suppose, get a player, you know, you're paying a little more the first few years, and then maybe you're getting a bargain down the stretch in the last few years of a deal like that as the player improves and gets better. But Peter Chiarelli has always sort of subscribed to the theory of, you know, you want that second contract to be a bridge to the big deal that they get after they get through a couple more years where they're arbitration eligible, where they're restricted, all that stuff, where, you know, they don't have quite all the bargaining power they will later on. I'd be stunned if he signed that big a deal with the Boston Bruins in the second deal.
So do you think the Bruins then will look at a possible PK Subban scenario with Montreal, where you're right, I have no problem with teams using it to their advantage, and then they might have to pay big money more down the road, and we can always debate which one's right or which one's wrong, but is right. that the route you think they see, like a two-year bridge deal like Subban got?
Yeah, I think so, and, you know, if he turns out to be PK Subban and you have to pay the piper at the end and shell out the big bucks because he's performed above and beyond the contract and he's become one of the elite defensemen in the NHL, then I think they're more than happy to do that. And, you know, he'll be a number one that you're willing to pay top dollar for or close to it to have as one of the, you know, the tent poles on your roster. But I think part of the problem in this league right now and with teams sometimes is these young 21, 22-year-old players get shown the money, that huge money, way too early before they sort of build up to earn it and sort of, you know, learn the right way to play and learn to get that hunger going and to really feel like they deserve and earn that big money, big term deal. You know, I think part of the problem the league has had over the last few years is too much too soon for some of these young guys. So I would fully expect them to approach it the exact same way or close to the same way Montreal did, where they get a couple more years, maybe a two-year deal at, you know, $4 million a year, something like that, $3 to $4 million a year, and then they move on to the really big money, big-term deal after that, as long as he performs, which I have no reason to think he wouldn't.
Now, there's been a lot of talk already. People are like, man, Dougie Hamilton's the perfect one to go after for an RFA offer sheet. And, you know, when you look at Boston's cap situation, you know, a team might do it strictly to put them in a real cap crunch. With that option there, do you think the Bruins then try to ensure they get some sort of deal done so he doesn't get RFA offer sheeted?
Ideally, I think they would want to do it before the free agency opens, for sure. But I don't think there is a real fear there that, you know, somebody is going to come in and blow him away with a huge deal that they're going to refuse to turn down. You know, Peter Chiarelli's attitude always towards the offer sheets and the restricted free agent situations like you're talking about is, if he wants the player badly enough and he really values the player, he's going to match any deal that anybody throws out there. And if it puts them in cap trouble, then so be it. But I think, you know, for a player like that, I don't see any way they wouldn't match whatever gets thrown at them and then, you know, deal with what may happen afterwards. Look, you're looking at a Boston Bruins team right now that is going to have some pretty significant changes to their roster this summer, I think. Even whether they make the playoffs, whether they don't make the playoffs, I think they're looking right now at probably moving a big money player or two to clear space, to sign guys like Hamilton, to take care of some of their other players, to fit everybody under the salary cap, and to change the mixture in that dressing room, because I think it's gotten to the point now where they definitely need a change there. So I don't think they're going to be scraping for quarters under the couch cushions to sign Hamilton. I think they'll probably clear space, making other moves to make sure that that happens. And, you know, there'll be some urgency to do it, to get it done before July 1st. But I'm not sure that they're really afraid of the restricted free agency offer sheet thing. I mean, like, how many times has that happened over the years? You know, we always talk about that in the media as this big thing that the GMs are going to use to swipe another team's player or put a competitor into salary cap trouble, but how often do you actually see it? Not very often.
It's true, and which is, to me, it's underutilized. If I was or not you get the guy, because if you don't get him, who cares? Yeah, and you might have a GM who's upset at you for a short time. Boo hoo. I don't think that matters.
I agree, but look, Steve Stamkos was restricted free agency a couple years ago, and nobody took a run at him. If nobody takes a run at a guy like that,
yeah,
I'm not sure anybody's going to get a run taken at them, you know?
Yeah, it's a fair point. Very, very true on that front. And Joe, one last one for you. You mentioned they might want to move out other salaries. You know, Milan Lucic is 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. So is Louis Eriksson. Would those be the two guys at the top of the list? Do you think they might move out?
Yeah, I think so. I think both of those guys would be prime candidates, both because they're 1 year away from unrestricted free agency and because they can get value for them. You know, they're going to be able to get a very good package of assets, whether it's, you know, a player, a roster player that can help them right now that's a high-end, high-caliber roster player, or, you know, prospects, draft picks, things that restore sort of the treasure chest of young assets and future assets for them. If they move Milan Lucic, you're going to have 29 other teams in the league that would want a player like that and would be willing to pay quite a bit to get what he brings to the table to their team. And, you know, I think the truth is in Boston, just at this point, given their salary cap situation, given some of the other players they have to sign, he's going to be looking for a long-term big money deal. And I just don't think they can sign another player like that to one of those deals right now. So he, just by virtue of that alone, they would have to trade him. I don't think they would really want to. As far as Louis Eriksson goes, I don't think he's been a great, even though he's been better this year and he's close to 20 goals, and he's been pretty productive on the power play, I still don't think he's a Bruins-type player. I don't think he's been a great fit here, just given his style of play. I think he's a very good defensive player. He's a productive player that will get you 20 goals and 50 points and can play in all situations and plays a lot of minutes at a high-quality level. He would be able to help a lot of teams, too. And as you said, I think that's the kind of players they're looking to deal to clear salary cap space this summer. I wouldn't surprise me at all, and I would still expect the Zdeno Chara is a guy they're going to talk to at least about whether he'd be ever willing to waive his no-trade clause to go somewhere else. Because I think if you've watched him lately, he's definitely not the 25 to 30-minute-a-night guy, the warrior that he was for a long period of time in Boston. And if you're relying on him to be that guy, you're going to have some hard times.
Joe, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy it. I know Bruins fans are likely, I was reading your stuff, they've been on the brink anyway with frustration. Now with Hamilton out, it might be acceptance of a non-playoff berth.
Lots of pitchforks and torches out on Twitter and Bruins Nation right now, Jason.